Good morning and welcome once again. I just finished asking you guys how many of you had a restful week and remained in the rest this week. And we didn't see any show of hands, so we got to continue on, I guess, and preach some more about the rest and how important it is for us. So this morning I want to take it perhaps a little bit further. And if you want to give this sermon a title or a name, I'm going to be speaking about remaining in the faith realm that we might experience the divine reality. How many of us want to experience, not just know about, but experience the reality of what we've been promised in Christ? And, you know, it's not just a life, it's the life of Jesus. You know, it's one thing to have a good life, but it's quite another to experience the very life that Jesus himself is enjoying. Where is he? At the right hand of God. And we need to know, and I think in this church we do, we understand that this life is given to you and has been given to you for you to enjoy. You know, it is given to us freely. It's not something we have to earn. By the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And there are countless numbers of Christians, God's children, who know all about this life, but it's not their reality. And in their lifetime, they barely stepped into any of it as a reality. And yet we still know that this life has been given to us. You know, remember Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly, that you might have and enjoy life. He didn't just come to give it to you, but that you might enjoy it. What good is it if we know we have it, but we can't enjoy it? You know, it's like it's locked up in a case. You see it, that even makes it worse. And we know we can't get to it. And yet that's somehow, sometimes the way I look around and I see most of us are living our lives. And but Jesus did not die on that cross and become our sin and become the curse for you and I, only for you and I to dream about having this life. You know, to have it as a dream or as something that we are going to aspire to in the sweet by and by. But to have it, to experience it, to enjoy it, and to share it with others today, now, not in the future. So I want us to open up our Bibles this morning to begin with, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Now this scripture, of course, you should all be able to quote it even before you go there. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. This is your mirror. And every morning you look in the mirror to see what you look like, to see if your hair is okay, or when you wash your face, brush your teeth, whatever. This is your mirror that we ought to look into every day and twice a day, three times a day, as often as you can, look into this mirror, this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, is everybody there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, if any of you, man or woman, be in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. First question you need to ask yourself is, are you in Christ? I believe we're all in Christ here today. Anybody who says, yes, I am in Christ right now, then the Bible declares that you are a new creation. Now, what it does not say is that you are trying to be a new creation, or even that you ought to be a new creation. It says that you are a new creation. This is present tense. Old things, the old creation, if you want to call it, all of that is passed away, and all of you, all of the new creation, who you now are, is brand new. This is the word of the Lord. And God's word is the truth. This is the word of the Lord, and God's word is the truth. Now, this may not be your experience. You know, because you hear this and your mind goes, no, nothing's new. This may not be your experience. And perhaps you, me, we're still battling with things that are supposedly passed away. How can you battle with something that's dead? Ask yourself this question. Meditate in this scripture. Let it mull around in your brain. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you things from that one scripture, to ask you questions. Why are you fighting something that's dead? It's one thing to fight something that's old, but it's quite another to start fighting a corpse. Old things. It doesn't say this. It's funny how sometimes in our mind we interpret it wrong. It does not say old things are passing away. It says old things pass away. They're dead. They're gone. Forever gone. And we live, when we look at this, we think, or we sometimes get the idea that the old things are only passing away. No. They passed. They're gone. Understand? There's a difference in how you see it. So, as the Apostle Paul said to his church, I'm going to say to you, I plead with you, focus on the scripture. Meditate on it. Allow it to become truth. Old you is past. Never, ever, ever to come back. Why are we still battling with things that have passed away? You know, we used to say things like, in the church, I've heard this, I didn't say it myself. Well, you know, you need to crucify the old man. It's the old man rising up. Have you ever seen someone dead rise up and give you a problem? That is not even scriptural. The old you is not rising up. You don't need to crucify the old man. He's already dead. He is dead and gone, and he will never come back. You're on this side of it. You cannot go back. The old you was born under the first Adam, the Bible tells us. That old you that was born under Adam, or through Adam, was subject to the law of sin and death. For God had said, the soul that sins must die. So the old you was, yes, under that curse, the curse of the law. Which was what? Death. Everything's passing away. It was the truth. And no one and nothing could change that truth at that time. Every curse, every evil thing that had occurred and did occur in the old creation was either because of your sin or the sin of your grandfather or your great-grandfather or your great-great-great-grandfather, all the way back to the sin of Adam. The curse was passed on from one generation to another. We call this generational curses. And you know what? We're still in the world today. Medical science tells us that your genes will determine what problems you will have in life. And do you know something? It's true. And there is nothing you can do to change your genes. There's nothing. They can look into your genes, your DNA, and they can tell you right now. That's why, with our advancements in technology, when you go to see a doctor today, they're not even interested in what you have. They want to know, they're more interested in what your mom had, or your great-grandmother, or your father. Why? Because there's proof. This is the truth. In your genes, your genetic makeup, are false curses, so to speak. Where did they come from? You didn't do anything. They're just in the, it's in the genes. If your family is known for diabetes, guess what? It's in your genes. You are more susceptible to getting diabetes. It's just the way it works. We're not denying that. That is the truth. That is a fact. But when you become a new creation, all of that passed away. All of that. And now you are in the new, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do to change. God said, you are a new creation. And all that old you have. It was put to death. So if you are in Christ, the old you, the you that was born under Adam and received through Adam this curse, that you was put to death. You need to see that. The old you has passed away. The Bible tells us we've been crucified with Christ. But even as Christ was raised from the dead, so too we were raised with him. How? As a new, brand new, never before, there was never anything like it before. You were born to a brand new, you were born a brand new creation. Jesus was the firstborn, and you are a new creation as well in him. So too, we were raised with him, a brand new species or creation. And as the cross, the curse, and death is now behind Jesus. Is it not? He's not going to face the cross. He's not dealing with sin. He's not dealing with sickness or anything else, any other curse. So it is behind you. What I'm trying to share this morning and establish is a mindset. It's a given. Because you are so established in this new creation, you don't even entertain things that don't belong to you. You don't even entertain what the world entertains. That is where we need to go. You need to be so, of course, I'm new. I don't even think of us. Nothing brings me fear in that area because it's dead. That part of me is dead and gone. I am immune to all of that. I am not the same person. I am not under this world system anymore or its curse. So as the cross, the curse, sin, all of that is behind Jesus. Death is behind him. So too it is with you. It's behind you. It's not something you're looking forward to. We are made totally new. Never, ever, ever to go back there again. You cannot go back to where you were. The moment you received Jesus, you were sealed forever. It's brand new. And really, when you go back and you study the scriptures and you realize that God created us, God provided for us, God did this, you and I had nothing to do with any of it. It wasn't by your good efforts or your good works. It was by nothing that God loved you. He knew you before he even created you. He created you. He is the creator of everything and that we see as you. And if he tells us that we are brand new, then bless God. His word is the truth. We are brand new. totally new. But here's the problem. This is what I want to deal with this morning. We are still trying to be this new creation. The new creation that we already are. Anybody who is in Christ is. We're not going to be. We already are in Christ, a new creation. We're trying to believe it so that we will become it. Do you understand it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We are trying to believe this scripture so that we will become what the scripture says we already are. That's wrong. We're coming at it from the wrong way. And sometimes in our minds, we don't even realize we're doing this. We're dyslexic. We're trying to believe it so that it will become. No, it already is. This is wrong thinking. No, you already are a new creation. It's like saying, I'm trying to believe I am healed so that I will be healed. That is wrong. That is totally backwards. That is not faith. That's doubt and unbelief. In your thinking, you are trying to get to a place that you are not. Come on, we do it all the time. Trying to get to a place that we are not. We might use all kinds of spiritual things to get there. You know, prayer, fasting, confession, all trying to arrive at a place that we already are. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. These things are not wrong, to pray or fast or read the Bible or whatever. But it's the motive that is so important. It is your motive that shows whether you are in faith or in doubt. In other words, what I'm really trying to say, I'm trying to simplify this morning, is in our minds, we have this mindset, so to speak, I don't know how else to say it, or we think this way, that I must believe it so that it will happen. It's already happening, and that's what I want. That ought to be how you think. It's already happening. See, faith comes from the truth. It's mine. This approach, I must believe it so that it will happen, will keep you frustrated. It'll keep you looking at that thing and never, ever able to arrive there. The Word of God will have no effect. Our approach must always be, I believe it because it has happened. I've said this before, your faith does not make anything. If it hasn't already happened, you cannot have it. God has already said, you are healed. It's already done. If he hadn't said that, your faith wouldn't make him say that. God provides first, always. I believe it because it has happened. This is what it means to be seated with Christ. We talked about it last week. We are seated together with Christ in the heavenly at the right hand of God. This is what it means to have that mindset. I believe it because it has happened. This is what it means to live in faith. This is your starting position. Not your finishing position. You see, in our minds, that's our finishing position. Is that it's happening. We always are starting here, where we're still trying to get to there. No, you start there. It's done. And then you go back, and you see it. Faith already happened. Faith is not trying to get anything. Faith has it. Otherwise, you're not in the faith realm. If you're still trying to obtain, you're not in the faith realm. When you are in the faith realm, you rest. You just abide. And there is so much teaching out there about what abiding is. It's simple. You know, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He did not say you are going to try to be a branch. You already are. So just rest. And if you rest, you will produce fruit. It's when you wriggle and you get your everything all, you know, twisted, the sap can't flow through the branch, so it becomes fruitless. Just, I'm not going to try to do anything. I mean, that doesn't mean in the natural you don't do anything. But it's like your mind is like, I'm healed. What more can I do? What more can I add? I am you. We need to stay in this faith realm. Because when you are in this faith realm, seated together with Christ, and I'm talking about a mindset, the devil cannot operate. He's done. He cannot operate in the faith realm. Absolutely not. He cannot survive. He can only survive the flesh realm. You can understand that. When you're still trying to obtain, trying, that's where he operates. When I say the flesh, I mean the soulish realm. He operates in your feelings, your emotions, your senses, feeling, sight, sound. When you think of yourself this way, and most of us do when something happens, especially with our physical body, because you feel it. When you think of yourself as, I'm sick, or I am this, I have this or this going on in my body. I have high blood pressure. I have this. I have that. When you see yourself like that, I am sick, trying to obtain healing, you're not in the faith realm. You're in the flesh realm. Yeah, but you know, Pastor, what about the symptoms? They're so very real. And they're painful. They're very real. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. Are these symptoms in the spirit realm or in the flesh realm? Are these symptoms going on in your body in the spirit or in the flesh? When I say the flesh, I mean in the natural. Well, of course, they're in the natural, right? Your symptoms are in the natural. So then what you are saying is this. The symptoms in my body are proof that I am sick. I'll say that again. The symptoms in my body are proof that I am sick. But God's word says, I'm healed. And everything in the natural, because in the natural is where the symptoms go on. Everything in the natural is passing away. Is that not true? In other words, if you can see it, if you can feel it, if you can hear it, if you can taste it and touch it, if you can smell it, it's passing away. But God's word, it is eternal. And that word says, you are healed. So what are you going to do? And so the devil uses the symptoms. And he says to you, aha, thought you were healed. Let's give it to her a little bit more today. I'll give it to him or whatever. Let's prove to him. See, he tries to prove the opposite. He tries to prove that the word of God is not true through the natural. And we are very susceptible to that. All of a sudden, our brain tells us, I am sick. Trying to obtain healing. It's not like you're throwing healing away or that you don't believe that God's word says you're healed. It's just that you're in a position now because you believe the truth, but you still aren't healed. Well, now I got to try to get to healed. That is not sitting with Christ. First position, our starting position has to be in Christ. I am the healed. I am righteous. I am saved. I am delivered. I am prosperous. Whatever it is, you already are. And from that position, you deal with the symptoms. Because those symptoms are passing away. And that's what you need to see. I am healed. I don't care if the proof in my body or my body is screaming at me, telling me I'm not. No. God's word is true. I am the healed. And these symptoms are on their way out. And you walk through it. But you remain seated. I am healed. That's operating in the faith realm. Your approach must always be, I am healed, dealing with symptoms that are passing away. Tell yourself that. These symptoms are passing away. Why? Because they're in the natural. But God's word will never pass away. It is the truth. The proof is God's word. The proof that I am sick is not the symptoms in my body. The proof that I am healed is the word of God. And I don't have to try to be righteous. I don't have to try to be healed or prosperous. I have all of these things in Christ. Now that's sitting down in the heavenly places. As he is in heaven, so are you. God, the Bible tells us, God has raised us up together with Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2 to sit together with him. We are joint heirs right now of all that he has. Of his fullness, the Bible tells us, we have all received. We're not trying to get to his fullness, his completeness. You already have it. And you and I had nothing to do with any of it. It wasn't your efforts that put you there. And it's not your efforts that's going to have you experience it or do anything else with that promise. Except sit. Remain in the faith realm. It is God's grace. And when you and I are still fearful about what we see in the natural, whether it's in your finances, your bodies, your families, there's so many different areas of our lives. If you are worried or troubled in any area, God doesn't kick you off the throne. It's not like you fall and you're dethroned. No. But we are restricting the supply. God can't get through. We're restricting. We're taking our own hands and we're restricting the supply of the grace that is continually flowing towards us to bring all of these truths to pass. It's by his grace that we are saved. We cut off grace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. How many times? I believe it's 365 times in the Bible that it's written, do not. You know why 365? Because we remind ourselves every day. One do not fear for every day. So God is already supplying. He's already given us all these things, but it's us who are restricted by our worries and our fears and our struggles. We're trying to still get there. And in the process, as we're trying to obtain what we already have, the devil comes along and makes us look like you're even further away from obtaining it. You know, the pain gets worse, or the symptoms get worse, or the money gets even lesser. And then we start to worry and fear, and God is trying to get it to you, but we've cut off God's supply through our worries and our fears. We restrict the supply of the grace of God from flowing in our lives. We're still trying to be complete in Christ when we already are. But the moment you stop trying, it begins to manifest. It's like those couples who struggle so much to have a child. And it seems like the harder they try, the further away it goes. And the moment they just let it all go, and relax and begin to just enjoy them, each other, the fruit comes. Even in the natural, you let go and things begin to flow. And we need to do the same thing with the Lord and with the Word. Don't hang on and, trying so hard to obtain. Just rest. It's already done. Faith is not, I'm trying to be healed, walking in it. Faith is, I am healed. I am healed. Any effort on our part to obtain what we've already been given or what we already are is impossible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We already are healed, righteous, prosperous, blessed, delivered, crowned with glory and honor. Given new youthfulness. Those are things that are already there. You know, that's why when Jesus, right after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness for 40 days. There he was tempted by the devil. And Jesus overcame all the temptations. The first temptation, the devil came and said to Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Now, we know that there's no law against turning stones into bread. It's not a sin to turn a stone into bread. In fact, Jesus obviously at this point must have been very hungry. It doesn't say how long he had been fasting, but he's hungry. It only takes one day to get hungry. He didn't have to have been out there for 3 weeks already. Can you imagine after 3 weeks how hungry you'd be? But obviously Jesus was hungry. And so he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus didn't bite, did he? Why? Because it would have been sin or wrong to try to prove. To try to prove he was the Son of God through his efforts. Jesus knew who he was. He didn't have to prove anything. In other words, Jesus wasn't trying to become the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And too many times we do things trying to become something, trying to prove that that's what we are. No, we already are. Jesus was not trying to become anything through his performance. He didn't have to perform to be or obtain anything. He neither did he. Who you are and what you are is not determined by how you feel, how you perform, what you see, what you feel, what somebody else tells you. It is the word that will determine who you are, what you are, what you have. It's God's word. And all we do is rest in it, remain in it. The book of Ephesians is divided into three parts. We've taken this study years and bring it up every once in a while, but we know that it's sit, walk, and then stand. So sitting is the starting position, and that's what I'm trying to tell us here today. To be seated is to have the mindset that it's already happened. It's mine. I am here. I am prosperous. I am successful. That's your starting position. That's sitting with Christ. As he is, so am I now in this world. So that's the starting position. In the natural, that's backwards. And I think that's why we struggle with it. Because in the natural, we don't sit down until our work is done, until we've arrived. But in God's ways, or in God's economy, so to speak, that's wrong. That's backwards. You sit first. Like we said last week, God created the world, and on the seventh day, he rested. God, man was created on the sixth day, so God, man's first day was a day of rest. He sat with God in the finished work. So in the natural, we only rest when our task is complete. But in Christ, we sit in the completed work. We sit first. We are first complete in him, first made whole, first healed, first prospered, whatever it is you want to be whole, whichever area you want to be whole in. And you do that before you will see anything in the natural. And the reason we're not seeing anything in the natural, in other words, it's not becoming a reality, is because we're not sitting down yet. We're still waiting, trying to obtain. So this, before we see anything in the natural, in our hearts, we need to be completely complete. This is the faith realm. And out of this faith realm, or we call it a position, we live. Now, sitting is the first, then we walk. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1, it says, we don't just walk. What does walk mean? It means that's how we live. We live from that position. Okay? But it says we walk worthy. Christians are walking, but they're not walking worthy. What does it mean to walk worthy? It means to walk worthy of your position. To walk in a manner that does not deny who we are. I mean, we know we're healed. So we're not going to walk around all day and say, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm so sick. That's not walking worthy of the position that you already have. You know, there's an example that I heard by Joseph Prince that I thought was a good one. Take the queen, for example. She's not always sitting on her throne. In fact, I wonder if she's sitting. But anyways, you know, the queen travels. She goes here and she goes there. But she's still the queen. And she still has the same position, no matter whether she's walking down the streets in New York or whether she's still the queen. Now, you might be on this earth, but your throne is up there. That you're still in that position. You are still a king on the earth. You are still royalty. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are. You're not. It doesn't say you are going to be. It says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The Bible also tells us that he has made us kings and priests. We are ministers, kings and priests unto the Most High God. We've been made a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What does the word peculiar mean? It says beyond usual. What does that mean? It means we're not common. Common means natural, in the natural, the way everybody is. You know, in the natural, everybody kind of has the same. They're the same. You know why? Because they're all in the natural. And it's natural. But we've been taken out of the natural world. We are now belong to the supernatural. The powers of darkness no longer rule over us. So all of those under the powers of darkness, which are people all around us, they are common. They are the usual. They have the usual problems. You know, whereas you're not there anymore. And that's why the Bible says you need to remove yourself from that. Know who you are. You are royalty. And it matters not that you're walking in the midst of this. You still are royalty. So it's not like we sit all day in our rooms on our chair in our whatever where we, you know, and confess who we are. No, we still have to walk. We have to live. We have to work in this world. But wherever you go, remember, I am royal. But this is my position, whether I'm sitting on my throne or not. So we are a peculiar people, beyond usual, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. We're not children of darkness anymore. We're children of light. So first of all, you must sit. You must take your position. That's your starting point of things. Then you must live according to that position. I'm sure that where the queen goes, her position doesn't. She's still the queen. And then number three, you will be able to stand. Because then it says stand, and having done all, stand. Now, here again, I was meditating on this verse about standing. I thought, you know, in our Christian life, sometimes we think about being strong and being settled, and to sit in this position gives us, we are able to stand strong against the powers of death. Because the Bible tells us to stand. But you know, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say stand against the power of the devil. You know something I'm going to share with you this morning? The devil ain't got no power. We're not standing against any of his power. But you know what? If you see that in your mind, if that's the picture you have of what you're standing against, it's going to be much harder to stand. He has no power. Where was the power taken and how? You need to understand that. It was stripped from him. Where? At the cross. Why? I mean, did Jesus beat his head in? And no. How did Jesus take his power? By fulfilling the law. The only power the devil has in your life is the law. But we've been delivered from the law. He has no power. None. He's powerless. You don't owe sin anything because Christ paid it off. And the only way he can get you is to get you to think that you owe something, that you somehow, because of something you've done or didn't do or whatever, you condemn your own self. So the Bible tells us that we must stand against the wiles. The power. The only thing he has against you is his trickery, his deceit. And he's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you that you're still sick because those symptoms in your body aren't gone. You know, this is still going on because look. So he's deceitful. He has no power. You have the power. You're the one that is seated in the heavenly places. You're the one who has the authority. And I know that once we take that sitting position, once we begin to walk in accordance with our sitting position, now you will know the enemy and his trick. You'll be able to stand in that evil day. What is the evil day? The day he comes along and lies to you and tries to tell you that you are not the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, just look at what you just said. Just look at what you've just done. There's no power. That's his power. It's deceiving you. But remember, the devil always uses the natural to prove his point. But you are not in the natural, nor are you looking at the natural. You are seated together with Christ in heavenly places, and that's where your victory is. You keep your eyes. The Bible says, if you be in Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, not on the things of the earth, because if you keep your eyes on the things of the earth, the devil will get you, because he uses the things of the earth to prove that God's word isn't truth, or it's not working for you. So you need to keep your position strong. It's not like you need to do anything other than keep your mind focused on the fact that I am a new creation. All old things passed away. I am not that person anymore. I am not subject to, or like the Lord showed me several weeks ago. He was trying to help me. Of course, I didn't take the bait, but I woke up one morning and I was feeling rough. You know how it is when you know you're coming down with a head cold. And the first word that came into my heart was immunity. Immunity. And I pondered the word for a few moments before I got up. But I know now what the Holy Spirit was trying to say was, claim your immunity to this. You are immune to everything, every curse that goes around. I don't care how exposed you are. You are immune. Why? Because you are a new creation. You're not under the old anymore. That old creation, you wouldn't have been immune to it. But in the new, you are. And I didn't take hold of it, and I didn't confess it. I just thought of it and thought, oh, that's a nice thought. And I got up, started my day. And by the end of the day, my nose was running. I was coughing. And I thought, oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit was trying to help me. And I just disregarded it. He will always try to help you. He will always be showing you who you really are. You need to be sensitive to his voice. So let's keep our eyes on him and our position in him. And let us deal with life from that realm. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am whatever it is you need to be. And the next time you're tempted by the devil to be discouraged about something that's going on in the natural, remind yourself, take yourself back there and say, no, I don't have to be discouraged. I already am. I don't really care what the symptoms are telling me. I don't really care. Those symptoms have to be they will change. They're lying vanities. They are passing away. But God's word will never pass away. And that's what I am in. I am in the realm of faith. You stay there, the devil has to leave. He cannot operate there. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word today.